The fight for the future is now. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Well, Canada is becoming a living meme, and our own Paul Joseph Watson has a report on Justin Trudeau, who seems to be the lead soy boy right now in Canada. Here's Paul Joseph Watson's latest video.
Maternal love is the love that's going to change the future of mankind. So we'd like you to
look we like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind, because it's more inclusive.
There we go, exactly. Yes, thank you.
We can all learn from each other.
No.
So if Justin Trudeau met someone called Guy Manson, he'd have to refer to him as person. Let that sink in. But wait, we already have a gender-neutral term for mankind. Humankind. Whoa, 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 bigots. That's got man in it. Humankind. No, that doesn't work.
It's one small step for
people.
People kind?
The people kind cringe fest wasn't even the most annoying thing about this event. Someone asked him how he was going to stop ISIS jihadists returning to Canada.
I need to know how you're going to protect future Canadians like my daughter and, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now when you're letting people in with an ideology that just does not conform to what we're doing here.
And he banged on for 5 solid minutes about diversity being a strength.
We have been open to people fleeing persecution.
Yeah, so how are you going to stop ISIS?
Syrian refugees.
Yeah, we know you love refugees, Justin. Now, how are you going to stop ISIS?
Refugees.
How are you going to stop ISIS?
Integration. Thank you very much for your question.
It's at this point that you realize Trudeau actually sees ISIS terrorists as refugees and wants to reintegrate them into society. Oh, wait, he actually said that.
The Liberal Party believes terrorists should get to keep their Canadian citizenship. Because I do.
His party even refused to vote for a symbolic motion condemning ISIS. Why bother policing ISIS when you can just police Canadians' free speech, eh, Justin?
Be nice.
Who has time to worry about Islamic terrorists when gender pronouns are being disrespected? And besides, maybe the ISIS jihadists will just deport themselves.
The budget will balance itself.
The budget will balance itself.
The floor is Trudeau's grasp of Austrian economics. Oh yeah, and speaking of the budget, $3,600 a month for Muslim refugees.
The allowance these Syrian refugees receive is $1,500 per month. They also receive a $2,100 a month Canada child benefit for a total of $3,600 per month.
And those wounded Canadian veterans, well, they can just go f*** themselves.
You have ISIL or ISIS members coming into a reintegration program. What veterans were you talking about? Was the ones that fought for the freedoms and values that you so proudly boast about, or was it the ones who fought against? I was prepared to be killed in action. What I wasn't prepared for, Mr. Prime Minister, is Canada turning its back on me.
Syrian refugees.
But forget mankind.
People kind.
This is a guy who gets triggered by describing honor killings as barbaric.
The use of a word as pejorative as barbaric has more of an opportunity to set someone's hackles up.
How are you going to stop honor killings, Justin?
Refugees.
Dude sits like he has balls the size of atoms.
No, that's just a one-off picture.
No. Tiny balls.
Be nice.
The virgin sit versus the Chad spread. You must have seen this one before, right? He walks across the entire room and no one wants to talk to him. And then the ultimate display of cuckoldry. The virgin man bag versus the Chad backslap. Yeah, just shut up, Justin. No one cares. When your attempt at a handshake has more soy in it than a 2-litre carton of Alpro, probably not best to be picking fights with Putin. When your own wife is literally trying to cuck you out on live TV chat shows.
Because you're very handsome.
And of course,
thank you, Justin.
As the meme goes, you're a Nazi if you disagree with me, and that's what Justin Trudeau has become. If you say mankind, you're a Nazi. Big news on the stock market on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Welcome to the War Room. We are live on this Thursday, February 8th, 2018. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer, and I have stacks and stacks of news to cover today. We've got Steve Pachenik joining me in the first hour at 3:30 Central. That's in about 30 minutes now. And of course, Roger Stone in the second hour, and he is fired up about some NFL news that he has been covering lately. So we're going to be getting Roger's take on that, as well as everything else that is developing right now. The Dow has gone negative 1,033. It was kind of stagnant this morning, then was hovering around a negative 500. And then, as you can see, just in the last hour and a half or so, it has tanked to minus 1,000 today and now under 23,000. Of course, it still would have to go down about another 5,000 to erase all of the gains since Trump's election. But a lot of this has to do, I think there's a lot of factors going into this stock deal right now with the market having this momentary collapse, if you will. Overall, in the big picture, it's still ahead. You've got a lot of mechanized sell-offs that are just basically computer programs that whenever they see trends like this, and it's like instead of having 1,000 people ready to sell off, they just have a machine that pops in and starts selling. So you've got that. You've got Yellen spiking the rates on last Friday, her last day as the Fed chair, and now Jerome Powell comes in. And then you're just going to naturally have it correct itself and balance itself out. I mean, it's not going to climb up forever. What goes up must come down. So I think that there is kind of a three-pronged attack on this with the mechanized sell-offs. Yes, the deep state probably wants to trigger some sort of crash here and blame it on Trump. And then, of course, the market was bound to correct itself eventually anyway. But we'll continue to monitor that as we'll see what happens tomorrow with the stocks. However, outside of the stock market, you have to applaud the fact that the jobs growth has been very real. U.S. jobless claims dropped to near 45-year low. That was in Yahoo Today. There was another story that was linked on Drudge, unemployment lines shorter than ever. And there was a new poll that came out actually Tuesday on Politico. And I hadn't seen it yet. And here's what they do over at Politico. So the poll is, well, they did a bunch of polls, but the headline is How America Feels About Trump. And it has a 45% approval rating, a 4% no opinion, and a 51% disapprove. This is actually good for Trump. Because let me explain something. Most people that are voting on this poll are obviously biased. Politico obviously has an audience that leans left. Politico obviously has an audience that leans Democrat. It's just like if I put out a poll on War Room or Alex Jones puts out a poll. Alex Jones obviously gets a bigger audience because he gets all the trolls and all the haters on there. But when we put out a poll on War Room, we pretty much get a response from people that agree with us, from people that lean politically right, people that lean libertarian, whatever you want to say. So, for example, here's our tweet today, our War Room poll of the day. Would you like to see a ticker tape military parade in New York? We've got just under an hour into this. We've got 80% yes, 20% no. And that's pretty much how I expect these polls to go. We obviously have an audience that leans in favor of Trump and leans in favor of what we say. But just like we do, so does Politico. And let me tell you something. When a Politico poll has Trump at 45% approval rating in a Politico poll, that means his real number is popping at about a 55-60% clip. President Trump's real approval is closer to 60%. In fact, you know what? I'm going to look this up right now. I just got an email from Trump or from Trump's team, basically saying the real approval ratings are in, and he's actually higher than Obama was. I'm literally looking this up right now on air. So Trump is saying that his approval rating is at 48% right now, according to his last February approval poll, and Obama was at 44 in 2010 on the same day. So take whatever you want into that. When I see the Politico poll and I see people saying, oh, look, you know, Trump's only at 45 approval rating, I say, well, wait a second, that's a Politico poll. A real poll with straight down the line fairness, I would say Trump is popping at 50-55%. Maybe even higher. Now imagine if you didn't have the CNNs and all the fake news out there lying about Trump all day. Boy, then you'd be seeing 60, 65, 70. Imagine if you didn't have 45, 40% of the population fully indoctrinated, fully brainwashed into hating Trump, fully bought into fake news to deceive the public on Trump. Imagine if you didn't have all those brainwashed people, all those indoctrinated people into hating America, hating Trump. Imagine if you had them not brainwashed in that poll. Trump would be about 75, 80 even. But that's just if you like America, like having a good job, like getting a bonus, like having a family, like God, like the military, like the veterans, like having a border, like tradition, like culture. If you hate all that stuff, then you hate Trump. If you like all that stuff, you like Trump. But what has been the big backlash about President Trump this week? Oh my gosh, Trump wants to have a military parade. How can we do such a thing? And then there's this weird dynamic where they're standing up for North Korea. I've never seen this weird dynamic where on some instances, I don't even know how to explain it. It's this weird thing. Like, look at this story in the Washington Post today. How do you explain this headline? Why, despite America's might, Trump's military parade can't compare to North Korea's. What? What is Washington Post saying here? Trump can't compare to North Korea? America can't compare to North Korea? So yesterday, liberal press is saying, oh, what is Trump? Are we like communist North Korea now? As if it's a bad thing to have a military parade. And then today it's, we shouldn't have a military parade. It can't even compare to North Korea. But it's amazing how Trump gets all this backlash. Guys, go to clip 8. This is Chuck Schumer calling for the same military parade just years ago.
Few places know the power of a parade like New York City. The historic ticker tape celebration is an honor.
Where Chuck Schumer's at.
Heroes and champions. And now there are calls for the city to recognize veterans of the war on terror in a parade up the Canyon of Heroes.
Yeah, the New York Giants, the football team, gets a parade.
New York City is home of the ticker tape parade, and since 1886, it's hosted more than 200 to honor heroes and champions.
There it is, the football Giants. They get a parade. In fact, they've had two parades.
And the Apollo 8 astronauts.
The Yankees get parades.
In 1985, a parade for Vietnam veterans. Now, as military operations in Afghanistan draw to a close, there are calls for a ticker tape parade
this is
to
from,
honor those who...
Here we go. This is from 2012.
After all, these men risked their lives to protect us. They experienced terrible trauma and tragedy along the way.
Senator Charles Schumer is appealing to the Department of Defense for approval of a grand event up the Canyon of Heroes that would include military brass,
Chuck Schumer,
military bands, and flyovers. It's still in the planning stages, but DOD officials say
okay,
it's
pull it down. We got to go to break. So there you go. Where was the media lambasting Chuck Schumer? Where was CNN lambasting Chuck Schumer for wanting to have a military parade? And where is Chuck Schumer today agreeing with Trump that we should have a military parade to celebrate our veterans, to celebrate our military? It's funny how that works. Chuck Schumer, snake in the grass. Chuck Schumer, chameleon. Trump, real. Media, fake. Media bias, hates Trump, doesn't attack Schumer for the same thing they attack Trump on. But Rand Paul makes a good point. Let's bring our troops home and then throw a parade. Got to agree with that. Bring the troops home and throw a parade. It'd be a great spectacle. We'll be right back. So the reason why I'm here highlighting Chuck Schumer calling for the military parade in 2012 is because it's so key to understand something. Just like the indoctrinated college students that we can go out and do a man on the street and read Trump's tax plan, but say it's Bernie's, and they say, oh, yeah, I love it. And then they find out it's Trump's, and they cringe because, oh, my gosh, how could I like something that Trump did? That's the brainwashing. That's the indoctrination. But the media is part of this, where the media will ignore, for the most part, Bill Clinton, George Bush, Barack Obama saying, I'm going to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Trump said it. He's the worst ever. Just the same goes for the military parade. Chuck Schumer calls for a military parade in 2012. Radio silence. Nobody says boo. But Donald Trump suggests it, and it's the end of the world. He's like North Korea, but North Korea is better. And it forces the political left to show how they really feel about the military, and then to cozy up to communism in North Korea, showing who they are again. So one more time, here is Chuck Schumer in 2012 calling for a military parade.
After all, these men risked their lives to protect us. They experienced terrible trauma and tragedy along the way.
Senator Charles Schumer is appealing to the Department of Defense for approval of a grand event up the Canyon of Heroes that would include military brass, color guards, military bands, and flyovers.
Chuck Schumer. So there you go. Why no media outrage? Why the outrage over President Trump suggesting that? Where's Chuck Schumer? Why isn't Chuck Schumer coming to President Trump's defense in the face of the media attacks? Why isn't Chuck Schumer coming to President Trump's defense when the Washington Post publishes the story? Why, despite America's might, Trump's military parade can't compare to North Korea's? I mean, how disgusting and anti-American is that headline from the Washington Post? Why, despite America's might, Trump's military parade can't compare to North Korea's? What, North Korea's military parade? When they have some fake missile? Some big, like, 30-foot-long missile. The story's on Infowars.com. This big missile is going down the street on the North Korea military parade, and the point, the edge of it, is sticking up. It's not even symmetrical. So, I mean, and we played the clip yesterday. The clip's at Infowars.com. It's all the liberal media freaking out. Oh my gosh, Trump called for a military parade. Oh, how dare he? And then they're like, I'm telling you, this is the strangest thing. I didn't even understand this yesterday. And I still don't understand it because it doesn't make sense. Trump calls for a military parade to celebrate our great heroes in the military. That doesn't mean you agree with everything the military does. It doesn't mean you agree with all these wars. It means that you recognize and honor the sacrifice that these men and women have given for their country and for freedom and for us to still have this way of life. Oh, but see, the New York Giants are allowed to have a football parade and the Philadelphia Eagles. See, Trump does everything. He understands timing. The fake news awards right in the middle of the Hollywood award season. He mentions the military parade right in the middle of the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl parade, which probably had millions of people at it. So you're allowed to have a Super Bowl parade, a World Series parade, you know, sports parades are cool. If you want to have an anti-Trump parade with a bunch of foaming at the mouth liberals and man-hating women and racists who just want to get together for their 5 minutes of hate and call it a women's march, you know, that's all good. It's all good. Everything's cool, you know, but until Trump, oh, Trump wants to have a military parade? Oh my gosh. Oh, no. Now, if Chuck Schumer called for it, it'd be okay. If President Obama called for it, it'd be okay. In fact, if anyone else called for it, it'd be okay. But if Trump calls for it, oh, God forbid. To correct myself, I was saying that Chuck Schumer said that in 2012. It was actually 2014. So I stand corrected here. It was even more recently. And it just shows you how much of a chameleon rat Chuck Schumer really is. Does it not? Of course it does. Now, what else do we have going on? In fact, let's go to clip four. So if Trump has this military parade, what are the liberals going to do? They're saying, this is the most unbelievable thing. So first, it's, again, I'm just trying to break this down for you so you can understand the liberal logic we're dealing with here. It's the Twilight Zone. They diss Trump for wanting to have a military parade because that's what North Korea does. That's what communist Russia does. So that's a communist thing. It's bad to do the military parade. But then the left comes out and says at the same time, well, why have a military parade? North Korea's is better. And then they are going to lay in front of the tanks for the military parade like the victims of communism did in Tiananmen Square. I mean, of course, they don't know the history. They don't know who Mao Zedong is. They think he's a capitalist. Just see Aide Skrillex. We all remember him who said Mao Zedong and Lenin were capitalist. I've done my research. Really? Well, now they're saying they're going to lay in front of the tanks. Here's activist Arne Menkoni. I mentioned him yesterday. Here's the actual video. Liberal activists are going to lay in front of the tanks if Trump has a military parade.
I'm Arne Menkoni.
Yeah, sure you will.
You're on my page, but I'm hoping that you'll share this. I ran for U.S. Senate for the Green Party. I'm an activist. I've been arrested in Washington for anti-war.
That's like his claim to fame, is being arrested in Washington, D.C.
15 with John Kerry.
Cool, dude. You've been arrested.
How we had to go in and fight ISIS, and I was pulled out of that Senate hearing. I've been in other ones. I've worked with other anti-war groups. The reason I'm making this live stream and video is
and just pause it real quick, because I will actually say I went back and did a little research into this guy. And I mean, honestly, I don't disagree with all of the stuff he says. I mean, some of the stuff he makes about being anti-war and stuff like that. I mean, I think there's fair stuff to be said there. I mean, I'm anti-war. I'm anti-interventionism. But again, how does that translate into laying down in front of the United States military tanks in a parade? It's not like they're invading a foreign country. It's not like they're oppressive communist dictators like the clip we're seeing right now of Mao Zedong's military parade in Tiananmen Square. I mean, this was the legend right here. They think that they can remake this history, because that's what I'm saying. They think they're actually fighting Hitler. They think they're actually fighting an authoritarian, but they have no idea what they're talking about. So this is an individual who's actually standing in the face of an authoritarian dictatorship, a communist dictatorship. But then these faux heroes, these LARPers, these social justice warriors, think that by them laying in front of an American tank on the streets of America, that's just a parade, not invading a foreign country, not representing an oppressive regime, that they're heroes. Let's go back to this social justice warrior.
Donald Trump.
You would see in the Soviet Union or in China or in there North Korea. This has become an authoritarian state, and we need grassroots effort today. If you can see what I've been posting over the last few hours, is that journalists, politicians.
So you get the point. But that's what I'm saying. Do you see what he says? He's like, oh, dude. This is a North Korean communist dictatorship thing. That's what you want. That's what they want. I mean, they can't even, they literally don't even operate linearly. There's no way to even explain their thinking. It's just everywhere, over the table, whatever makes sense in the moment. Sometimes communism good, sometimes communism bad, but Trump always bad.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Dr. Steve Pachinik joins me now. Let's get right into it with him. Steve, the two topics I want to talk about with you today. The stock market has a major slump today. Drudge is calling it the correction. And then I also want to talk about all the new text messages we're seeing, all the new stuff that's being exposed in the Hillary Clinton fiasco, the Obama, you know, involvement and all of that. So those are the two things we're going to knock out today. Let's start with the stock market, though, Steve. How much of this do you think is organic, a correction, mechanical sell-offs versus perhaps what we would say the deep state or the globalist trying to tank the market to make Trump look bad? What's your opinion on that, Dr. Pachinik? Okay, we have lost Steve, so we will try to get that corrected. In the meantime, while we're picking him back up, none of this is possible without your support at InfoWarsStore.com. And as you can see, we are expanding things. And as Alex announced today on the Alex Jones Show, he wants to be live 20 hours a day by 2019. But This is not something that we just wish for. This is not something that we can just snap our fingers and do. This takes a lot of hard work, and it takes a lot of funding, and it all is made possible by your support at InfoWarsStore.com. But we're not asking for an arm and a leg. In fact, we bring you great deals at InfoWarsStore.com. Just look at some of the specials right there in the front fold of InfoWarsStore.com. You've got 50% off BOD Ease. You've got 50% off the new 30-day liver detox Icurin. 53% off CellForce, 25% off BrainForce Plus. These are all highly rated supplements. I just started taking bodies for myself. It's working wonders for my sore knees from all the running and basketball that I do. It's really incredible. I've noticed the difference immediately from BodEase. So if you're someone that suffers from joint pain or soreness or achiness, and sometimes it's hard to shake that, BodEase is the supplement for you. 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Please support us. Guys, do we have Steve ready to go? All right, Dr. Pechenik. So I was asking you before we lost you there, what do you think is the deal with the stock market? Is this just a legitimate correction? What goes up must come down? Is this because of the mechanized sell-offs that we know that these machines kick into gear when there's big routes like this? Is this a correction, or do you think there's some more nefarious activity here? Do you think maybe deep state globalists are trying to tank the market to make Trump look bad? Dr. Pechenik.
Thank you very much, Owen. It's really quite a natural progression of events. What's happened, and Trump has said it very clearly, we are going down in the market because we've become very successful economically. And what that means, it sounds paradoxical, but it's not. What that means is our unemployment is very low. It's the lowest we've had in history. Our interest rates are going up somewhat in order to curtail the amount of liquidity that we have in the markets. But at the same time, what happens is the market is not used to this kind of expansion that it had over the past 6 months. So it's pulled back in a very natural way. And as you said, then the quantum analogs, the machines, kicked in because at the same time we had increased GDP and at the same time increased internets. So the analog computers came in and shorted a lot of the stocks. Now, I'm a day trader, which means I got hit very badly, but I went back into the markets today because it's going to be quite successful. It came back 10% and it will go up another 10% by next week. The reason for that has to do with the dynamics of the movement of the market. There's nothing nefarious. Number two, what has to be understood is that the stock market is about 6 months ahead of the economy or the political dynamics of our country. So what we're watching right now is an ongoing global expansion of the economies in every part of Europe, China, and the Soviet Union and Russia, and at the same time, our own economy. But because we've had inflationary pressures underneath the increased amount of job payments and the fact that more people are making money, we've had to curtail the liquidity so that we don't get into an inflation spiral. As a result, the stock market pulled back and then went into a 10% pullback. It will come back within the next week or so. There's nothing nefarious about it. I have a very good feeling about it. Matter of fact, I'm investing now in potash, in Mosaic Mine, to make sure that the farmers are using potash, and they use a stock called Mosaic, and they just increase the amount of consumer agricultural products that they need in order to have their markets effective in March and April. So a stock like, which went from 35 to 19 and it's a 24, I will go in and go long on it till about 27, 28, 29 within the next week. So I have a vested interest, and I'm saying this without being, wishful thinking. I'm a realist. It's very hard. Let me add this, Owen. It's very hard for millennials to understand that when you're getting into the market and many of them have put in their savings and then suddenly they get hit. They have to understand that that's the natural dynamics of a very powerful economy. And our economy is not slowing down. On the contrary, it's really growing. And it will continue to grow independent of what you see in the markets. And the markets will reflect that.
The day trader telling the millennials to be patient and go long. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Yes, correct. And the answer for that is, millennials, you know, they've garnered their wages, they've garnered and put it into a 401k, and suddenly they got hit, let's give an example, from $35,000 in their IRA account or 401k account, and they went down to $19,000. Eventually, that market value will come up to $24,000, but if they're patient and they can go in now and buy at a lower price.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Then wouldn't now be the time to buy when you see these corrections and you see these steep slopes in the day? Isn't now where you buy late and then you play long?
That's exactly right, Owen. So when we play long, let's explain it to the people. We're buying in the anticipation that the stock will go back up another 10 to 20 to 30%. In the case that I buy Mosaic and when I buy options, I expect it to go up 20, 30% within the next couple of weeks because I've seen the pattern of its movements going down and up. If you're not a day trader, then you want a more stable stock or you want something that you can depend on with a dividend, but that will pull back as well. And then when it comes down in value, you have to start buying it. So in a way, Owen and Alex, you could have your own, we can have our own economy section like Cramer, you know, we can discuss the stocks, but you're absolutely—
Oh, well, Cramer was, he was fired up today. I don't know if you saw his ranting.
I don't really watch him, but, you know, he was a day trader. I'm a day trader. I was in the investment banking world. He was in it. And you have to understand that the economy is a viable organism. I mean, it sounds weird because it's all about numbers, but it really is a reflection of the vitality of our republic. And irrespective of Trump says or Nancy Pelosi or anybody else, the economy reflects the underlying confidence that the business have in what's going on. And remember, as I said to you, we're in the stock market. We're 6 months ahead of what's happening in today and the reality of the world of politics and national security.
You know, it's funny because when you look at the stock market, I think that you just said it perfectly. You know, I personally, I've never been one to get involved in the stock market. I don't really have the time. I feel like if I was doing a day trading thing, I mean, that's the kind of thing you really got to be on top of so you don't lose everything in one bad deal. You have to look for these trends. But when you look at it and you think about it from the confidence standpoint, that's what people don't really talk about enough because it's why do you call it Trump's economy or why do you call it Trump's stock market? Well, it's not because Trump said something. It might not even necessarily be because Trump did something. It's because of the movement and the trends that appear like, okay, well, wait a second. American manufacturing is back. I mean, Boeing, I think, is the perfect example. I mean, you look at what Boeing stock has done in the last year and a half. I mean, you're making out like a bank robber. I mean, you're making out like a bandit if you've stuck long with Boeing. We've got Steve Pachenik for another segment. Don't go anywhere. We're talking stocks. Maybe we get into the deep state a little bit on the other side. This is The War Room. Well, Steve is Dr. Pachenik is doing a little dance right now. I'm assuming that's not because he did well in his day trades today. As I was speaking in the last segment, though, guys, pull up that graph of Boeing stock that we've seen here. So this is what I've been talking about. This is a good measure, I think, of if you play your cards right in the long run and you go with the smart bet, you cannot freak out when you see a flinch. You cannot freak out when you have a hesitation in the market. Even Boeing down 5% today is up huge in the long term. You know, these are some of the stocks I've been monitoring. Of course, people, you know, you can see the pattern here. Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Halliburton. These are stocks that continue to go up, Steve. But in the long term, these are the stocks that win historically. Would you say, for someone who's young, a millennial who maybe is interested in the stock market now because there's so much success there, so much energy and hype there, wouldn't you say, as you said in the last segment, now's the time to buy low? Now's the time to say, all right, here's where I'm going to buy at, and then here's where I want to get out at. Don't monitor it every day. Say, all right, I'm going to get in at Boeing at 3:30, but I'm not going to get out till 4:30.
I think that's a good point, Owen. Number one, before you go into the markets, particularly this week and next Monday or Tuesday, we have to see how far the market has bottomed out. So one of the things that you brought out, which is very important, is for the millennials and others to understand that there's a certain pattern where we go very high and then we go to low lows. And even on Boeing, that's not the lowest price that Boeing is going to hit tomorrow or even on Monday. And what we expect is after 10% pullback, there'll be a rebound coming in about Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. If that doesn't occur, then we have a very strong bear market, which means you can lose more. Remember, our economy is based on entrepreneurship. It's not a guaranteed life pension. And I've got to make a mention of that to everybody who has a pension. With all due respect, I don't want to create fear, but the reality is those pensions are managed by very sophisticated hedge funds and investment bankers who depend on high-frequency trading and analog computers. So you cannot assume that suddenly your $1,000 is going to be there in the pension fund when it literally came back to $500 or $250. So your listeners have to become somewhat sophisticated, and we can teach them on a weekly basis as to what they have to look for and what they have to ask. If you're a teacher, a policeman, or a fireman, don't assume that your pension is fully intact and fully funded and that it's growing on a percentage basis. What I don't want to get into is the notion that you're getting a certain percentage of the investment and it turns out to be a Ponzi scheme. And I don't want to frighten anybody, but that's one of the issues you have to be careful about. I would say to the millennials and others to start with smaller price stocks. Those are like Mosaic 24, 25. You're talking about AMD or Intel, and there's a rotation that goes around from technology to farming to computers to software to internet security. And that's the kind of issue that you have to learn about. And what it does is allows you to understand what we're about in America and why the Alex Jones show, the Owen Schroyer show is exceedingly important. It's because we don't have an agenda here. I'm not telling you to buy stocks in this case or in that particular industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. We're not invested in any of this stuff, at least for our own gain. If someone else out there invests.
Correct. But you said it correctly, Owen. In a way, you could be the model for the young people to explain to them, look, you need to be, one needs to be involved and engaged in creating one's own assets or one's own fortunes. It doesn't happen overnight. And the notion that you will have a job for the rest of your life is gone. That is no longer in existence. We live now in what's called the gig economy, G-I-G, which means that you're going to have part-time jobs, you're going to work from home, you're going to work on the computer. Therefore, you're going to have to learn how to create some assets that are valuable to you. You can have it in the market, you could have it in real estate, you can have it in startup companies. It turned out.
So is this like a new wave? Are you saying there's like a new wave of entrepreneurship happening here?
Yes, Owen. In fact, it's so exciting. That's why I love being on your show, because you do represent the millennials and you understand what's happening. What's happening is that the economy has completely shifted away from the old line notion that the unions will take care of you, you'll have a pension, the firemen will be fine, the policemen will be fine, the teachers will be fine. No, none of that is really guaranteed. What's in fact the problem is that you're going to come into an economy where even if you're medical doctor, it doesn't mean that you're going to make a living or living commensurate with the amount of education. What it means is we're entering into an age where the internet is literally leaping in capability. So, for example, one of the issues that's coming up is not just binary numbers, one and zero, but a sophisticated notion of what we call quantum encryption, which is a very sophisticated notion of how to maintain security within the internet. So we're beginning to move rapidly. There are new companies. Oh, is that all right? Do you hear me, or is that?
We lost you for a second, but you're still good to go. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize how fired up you were about stocks. It's actually kind of cool for me. You're a very savant on all things related America right now, Steve. Even though you took down the wooden American flag behind you and put it up with a Dr. Seuss reject. I still think the audience is enjoying the background. So let's stick with this stock stuff real quick, because there's some news going around. Let's go to Twitter. So first you had Twitter last week, or I guess earlier this week, announcing that they were making a change to their algorithms and retweets and everything. This is an effort to stop bots. Of course, we know who the bots are. The bots are just Trump supporters. The bots are just conservatives on Twitter, but they just call them bots. And then today, the news is that Twitter delivers its first profit ever, Steve, and surges to 22%. Something seems fishy about this to me. This raises red flags to me. How all of a sudden is Twitter turning a profit for the first time when they're in the middle of a censorship and a purge transition, and now all of a sudden they're turning a profit? I mean, I don't know. What do you see going on here with Twitter's profit for the first time?
I happen to invest. I invested in Twitter when it came out, and I thought it would do well. There's a problem. When you look at a company like Twitter, which I happen to use, but it doesn't mean that it's financially viable. There is a viability issue with Twitter, and that is they do not know how to make money. They do not know how to monetize the 24 or the 124 characters that are existing. I had the notion that with Trump using Twitter, it would go up in price. The net asset value would go up and all. I have not followed Twitter. But from a point of view of monetization, Twitter does not carry enough advertisers to sustain a growth that is viable. In turn, you have Facebook or the FANG, you have the Apple, you have the Netflix, you have Google, which do have formidable advertising capacity, but they're way out of the range. They're even out of the range for me because I'm not interested in trading in stocks that go from 1,300 on upward. So the people who are watching have to understand what is the product that's out there. But more importantly, it may sound sexy, but how does it get monetized? So the Owen Schroyer show and the Alex Jones show, if you look at it, it gets monetized because you guys do a great job on the vitamins and the supplements. But if it had no advertisement whatsoever, like when I go on the air and I'll produce my own video, I get demonetized by Google. It doesn't matter what it is. Google doesn't particularly like me. I don't get along with them. But this has been going on for years. But I know that I have to pay for my own videos. Other than this, which is for free, I know Google will demonetize me. So you have this element of the big brother coming in and saying, okay, we have the right to monetize and demonetize at will. Well, I don't think that's fair, but right now I'm not going to fight Google, but we have to go hand in glove each time that I put on a video to say, no, this was an appropriate video. The reality is when you look at an asset or a product, you have to ask yourself, does it generate cash or doesn't it? When you have an artificial product, like in the pharmaceutical industries, and they say it's through phase one and two, and suddenly jumps 30% in the value of the stock, then you have to wonder what exactly is that stock doing and how effective is the product?
Yeah. So, I had red flags all over when I saw that Twitter stock take a bump. It just seems fishy. I wouldn't invest in it. Real quick, Steve, we're done here in 30 seconds, but this news just came out of Reuters. India's antitrust watchdog fines Google for abusing dominant position. They're levying a $21.1 million fine on Google. This isn't the first one. What about Google stocks right now, and what do you think this means for Google in the future? 30 seconds.
If I were a trader on Google, I would short it, because from a point of view of an asset, I find it to be immoral, totally out of control, and it's a monetization criteria is nonsense. It just decides ex cathedra how to monetize.
Well, and I would imagine all these antitrust suits are not going to help it. Hey, Dr. Steve Pachenik, great stuff as always. StevePachenik.com on Twitter, Steve Pachenik. He signs off. We'll be right back on the other side.
Give me liberty
or give me death.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. You're at Freedom Command Central. That's right. It's the War Room. And now joining my co-host, Owen Schroyer, I'm Roger Stone. We're going to be taking your calls later on in the program because I'm finding that so many liberty-minded viewers and listeners have questions about exactly what's going on in Washington. The entire collapse of the Russian collusion delusion, the incredible revelations about the abuses of power at the FBI, the Department of Justice, the NSA, and now questions about the role of President Barack Obama himself have left many of our listeners confused. The news is breaking down and coming out so quickly that Owen Schroyer and I are going to be here to answer your questions. Today, we'd like to focus on the collapse of the effort to illegally surveil our president on the basis of a fabricated narrative, a fabricated document that was first paid for by Republicans who opposed the candidacy of Donald Trump, then paid for by Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee through a Democratic law firm on the West Coast, and then lastly, subsidized with your tax dollars, that's right, by the FBI. Owen Schroyer and I are going to be helping to answer your questions and lay out as much of this as we can here at the War Room. The number for phone calls, which we will get to, is 888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. And we're going to try to stay focused today on the Russian collusion narrative collapse that is going on around us. And Owen, almost as importantly, the mainstream media attempts to change the subject, to understate this, to try to brush it under the carpet, pretend it's not happening. Or as you said yesterday, Owen, nothing to see here, just keep moving. There's nothing whatsoever to see here. That's right, folks, you're at the War Room.
And leading the way for that distraction has been Adam Schiff, who writes the Democrat memo intentionally in a fashion to get it redacted so that they can create a new talking point in the news cycle. The president doesn't want you to see our memo. First, they were saying the Republicans and the president don't want it released. And then they were like, yeah, of course, release it. And so now it's going to be, they redacted it, so they don't want you to see it. I mean, this is the Democrat tactic. But, you know, it's amazing, Roger. Today, well, I'm not actually sure when this National Enquirer cover's going to be released. I'm not sure if it's today or this week or whatever. But even the National Enquirer is now covering this. Headline on the latest National Enquirer magazine: Obama and Hillary ordered FBI to spy on Trump. 7 illegal wiretaps by Barack and Clinton's corrupt FBI cronies. 42 secret papers leaked to sabotage Donald's presidency. Next, going to jail. It's worse than Watergate. So now the National Enquirer, famous for being a gossip column, you know, famous for, you know, kind of, you know, on the edge of the conspiracies and the crazies and everything. Well, they're more accurate than CNN has been ever. I mean, this is the truth, Roger. This is the headline. This is the breaking story. This should be the lead story on every news outlet right now. But it's not, is it?
No, you're exactly right.
All right, we're going to be joined by Roger Stone again on the other side. It's crazy. The deep state is doing everything they can to try to stop the American Revolution and stop President Trump from bringing America back to greatness. We take your calls on the other side with Roger Stone. This is Owen Schroyer in the War Room. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back. You're at the War Room here at InfoWars with your hosts, Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. You know, Owen, I think we have a special responsibility here to try to cover this story as quickly and as completely and as accurately as possible, because unfortunately, the mainstream media is not doing so. Yes, you can get great coverage on Fox if you look at Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity or Judge Jeanine. But other than some of that programming, we are the tip of the spear. We are the ones that will tell you that what no one else will tell you. And now, unbelievably, this narrative is turning in a way that some of us here at InfoWars have predicted for some time. It was never credible that the national security apparatus, the FBI and the Justice Department, would be involved in the use of a fraudulent document used to rationalize the surveillance of the Republican candidate for president without the man at the very top knowing exactly what is going on. As I have said now for some weeks, what did Obama know and when did he know it? Now, there's a struggle going on in the mainstream media, even as we speak, as some seek to reinterpret these incredible bombshell FBI texts that were released yesterday, in which Peter Strzok says Obama wants to know everything. They're trying to say that he wanted to know everything about the investigation into Hillary's email server. Well, that's problematic in itself, because if he knew everything, he would know there was an egregious illegal cover-up and a series of lies. But it is more probable and more likely that what he wanted to know, based on an in-context reading of the FBI text messages, was about the effort to undermine Donald Trump and illegally justify his surveillance. An extraordinary piece by Molly Hemingway at The Federalist lays this out in spades as to the mainstream media cover-up. So we here at the InfoWars and at the War Room are going to be covering this up. We're going to be covering this story, and we invite your questions today. You can call us at 888-201-2244 for questions for either Owen Schroyer or myself to try to help everybody understand what is coming at us so quickly in this extraordinary breaking news. The criminal conspiracy appears to have reached all the way to the top. Now, it's extraordinary the number of info warriors who have contacted me in the last 24 hours, either via text or phone call or email, to tell me that when they ask questions on their Twitter feed about what Obama knew and when he knew it, when they suggested he be investigated or in some cases arrested, well, they were censored. Their Twitter feeds were shut down. There is no better evidence that the globalists and those who pulled off this criminal scam are on the run. They know that, as the president said, we caught them. We caught them red-handed, and the American people are demanding the facts, Owen.
Yeah, you know what? I need to get that. Guys, I'm not saying for the moment, but we need to get that clip like just in the box for every show. This needs to be a regular clip of Trump saying, we got him, we got him, because it really is that important. And we're about to take your phone calls here, but I just wanted to make a couple comments here, Roger. So a new story at the Daily Caller, I believe this is by Luke Rosiak, who's done great work over there. FBI missed Clinton emails openly marked classified, wanted to conclude probe before IG caught mistake. Now, we already have the evidence of this as well with the text messages with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. Of course, with Andrew McCabe and everybody writing her off before the investigation. Same with Comey. They all lied about it. You had the tarmac meeting with Lynch and Clinton, where it's being alleged that they exchanged Clinton walking free for a Supreme Court justice seat. So you've got all of that mud behind it. But then it comes out proven, without a doubt, that that is what happened and that Clinton was guilty, but the FBI just wrote her off before the investigation took place so that she couldn't be charged. But this is the incredible thing. So PolitiFake News called PolitiFact, they're the ones always checking, is it true? Is it false? Well, after Luke Rosiak published this story here, FBI missed Clinton emails openly marked classified, PolitiFact changed their true-false meter. So it used to be Hillary Clinton says she never received nor sent any material that was marked classified on her private email server while Secretary of State. PolitiFact used to have this listed as mostly true. This used to be mostly true. Then Luke Rosiak publishes this story. We have all the evidence. What does PolitiFact have to do? Change it to false. Change it to false. You know who told you this happened first? Infowars.com. So this is just another example of PolitiFact being wrong. They say that they're the bastion of determining what's true and false. Oops, looks like you were wrong again, PolitiFact. Roger, you ready to go to the phone lines here?
Absolutely. But before we do that, Owen, let me say I've had the exact same experience with factcheck.org. They wrote a terrific piece in which they correctly concluded just prior to my testimony for the House Intelligence Committee that there was no evidence whatsoever that I had advance notice of the hacking or release of either Hillary's email or John Podesta's email. And then when I cited that, they actually published an addendum that said, well, just because there's no proof of something doesn't mean it didn't happen, thus totally undercutting their own credibility. This is the Walter Annenberg Foundation. This is hardly a right-wing bastion. And they had written a fact-based article which they then tried to back off of because it didn't fit the left-wing narrative. Let's go to the phones, Owen.
Yeah, you wonder if someone wasn't pressured into changing that story about you. Let's go to Kathy calling in from Seattle. Go ahead, Kathy. You are on the air.
Why?
Okay, Kathy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kathy. We just picked up your audio. Start over. Go ahead.
Why aren't we seeing these criminals arrested? What's wrong? Do they have to be Republicans to arrest them?
Well, I think I'll just give a quick answer and then pass it to Roger. Trey Gowdy made a good point the other day. When you're in the legislative branch, you can't send somebody to jail, okay? You can't bring about charges in the legislative branch. You're there to raise awareness, you're there to get facts, and you're there to get evidence. And that's what the legislative branch has done now with Jim Jordan, with Matt Gaetz, with Chuck Grassley, with Devin Nunes, with Ron DeSantis, with Trey Gowdy. So the legislative branch is now doing their job. It's now on the executive branch to push forward. And Roger, where do we go now? Who is it that's in a coma?
Oh, who could that be but none other than Jeff Sessions? Look, with Senators Grassley and Lindsey Graham making a criminal referral and essentially laying out in black and white in a largely unredacted form everything that's in the House memo, confirming it lock, stock, and barrel, the next logical, legal, procedural step is for the Justice Department to arrest somebody and to begin proceedings in front of a grand jury. And that would be happening if our attorney general was not comatose or in the tank. It's one or the other. Now, brushing our friend Jeff Sessions aside, for whatever reason, the number two man in the Justice Department, Rod Rosenstein, is in on the conspiracy. He's an associate of Mueller and Comey and the FBI rotted corruption at the very top of that agency. He's one of them, not one of us, which is why here at InfoWars, only weeks ago, I called on the president to fire Rosenstein. He's a quisling. He is an asp in the bosom. He is a spy for the other guys. And there is no prospect of prosecution until he is removed, until we have an honest Justice Department that is based on prosecution and the rule of law. The great question of Watergate, if I may remind you, is no person is above the law. Well, we're going to find out whether that's true, Owen. We're going to find out whether Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and James Comey and Mr. Mueller and Mr. Rosenstein and Mr. Strobe are above the law.
That's the question. Is the secret society above the law? We'll see more from the callers on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Are the Clintons corrupt?
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Well, that pretty much says it all right there, Roger, doesn't it?
It sure does. Look, they're caught red-handed. Incredibly, despite the fact that they have been completely and totally busted, there's a new organization called Investigate Russia, being headed by the corrupt former CIA director, John Brennan. These people don't know when to quit when they're ahead. They've got the mainstream media furiously trying to cover up for them, yet they are out wanting to investigate Russia, get the truth, why it matters. John Brennan ought to tell us the truth about his conversion to radical Islam and why he was out predicting Russian collusion before the votes were even counted. Months before the election, he was predicting that the Russians are helping Trump, setting the stage, in my opinion, for one of the greatest frauds in American political history, the Russian collusion investigation. And now we're learning that, yes, there was real Russian collusion in the election. As Senator Grassley has determined and referred to the Justice Department, the former British spy, Mr. Steele, was actually meeting with Russian assets to prepare a second memorandum at the behest of Hillary Clinton for the FBI. This investigation is going to start looking at Sidney Blumenthal. This is the real criminal genius of the Clinton crime family, a guy who thinks he's Ted Sorensen, but actually he's Al Capone. A shadier character does not exist. And I'm not at all surprised that his fingerprints are on this criminal conspiracy. Owen, let's go to the phones.
Yeah, and real quick before we go back to Kathy, the key is going to be that Chuck Grassley and Senator Graham calling for that investigation into Christopher Steele. Who were his Russian sources? That is the key. We know he had at least three Russian sources when he wrote the fake dossier. Were they real sources? Do they actually exist? That's what's going to have to be found out in the wanted criminal investigation by the Senate committee. Kathy, you didn't get to finish your point. Finish your point here real quick before we move on to the next caller. Go ahead.
You bet. Last question. Do you think maybe Sessions is being blackmailed and he's got skeletons in his closet and that's why he's just not doing his job?
Roger.
It's a very difficult question. In other words, I was pleased with his appointment as Attorney General because of his extraordinarily good record on the immigration issue and for the fact that he had the courage to be the first and I think only member of the U.S. Senate to endorse Donald Trump early and to campaign vigorously for him. Now he's a different person. He seemingly is obsessed with cracking down on state legalized marijuana for medicinal purposes, something President Donald Trump strongly supports, and asset forfeiture, where he has put forward a program in which the government, before you've been tried, before you've been found guilty of a crime, they seize your home, your car, your bank accounts, and all your assets, something that Judge Andrew Napolitano, my favorite legal analyst, other than Tyler Nixon, who is does legal analysis for here at InfoWars, they both agree is highly unconstitutional. So I don't know what's wrong with Jeff Sessions. I don't know if he's been compromised, whether he's senile, whether he is distracted. But I do know this. There are egregious violations of the law. Jeff Sessions couldn't find anything wrong with the IRS actions under Lois Lerner. He couldn't find anything wrong with the granting of immunity to Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin, who then destroyed their laptop computers in the Hillary email scandal. He can't find anything wrong about the egregious trading of governmental decisions for multi-million dollar contributions at the Clinton Foundation. Uranium One comes to mind. Incredible news today that the Russians paid a U.S. lobbyist a couple million dollars to smooth the way for that treasonous, shady deal. So Jeff Sessions is a question mark. We need a new attorney general committed to the rule of law. But first, we need to fire the corrupt assistant attorney general, the number two man in that department, the de facto attorney general, Rod Rosenstein. Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, you know, I want to give Sessions the benefit of the doubt, but again, he's given us nothing. He's given us not even a signal. I mean, can I get a comment? You know, we got all of this crime out here in the open, and we can't even get a comment. You know, it's like, what are you doing? Where are you? It's very strange. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Let's go to James calling in from Indiana, wants to talk about Jeff Sessions. James, what do you think is going on with Jeff Sessions?
Well, thank you for sharing your spirit, dear patriots and leaders. You inspire me. My question was about looking at Jeff Sessions. That's understood with what Roger Stone said. But the question for me is, the FISA judge, how come we don't know where they were tricked into it? And what's their name? Maybe they're in on it too.
Yeah, that's a great question, Roger. We haven't heard anything about the FISA judge that signed off this warrant. We don't know the name. So there's kind of just an emptiness there of questions that need to be asked.
Well, the problem, of course, we have is by law, the entire FISA process is secret. We're not supposed to know. We do know that the Obama administration and the Justice Department went first to the FISA court in July, and they denied their request for warrants to surveil Carter Page and Paul Manafort and Roger Stone. We also know that the Justice Department went back to a different FISA judge, did not disclose to the second judge that they had been denied by the first judge, and ultimately got this fraudulent series of warrants. But here's what's ironic. The House Republicans are justly raising questions about the corruption of the FISA warrant process, yet only days ago they voted to reauthorize the entire system. Against the very strong and articulate advice of both Senator Ron Paul and Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat. The FISA court is ripe for abuse. It's a super secret tribunal in which the government gets 99% of their requests rubber stamped. And unlike a normal federal court, they don't even have to have probable cause. They don't even have to have evidence of wrongdoing. They just have to say, well, we want to look at Owen Schroyer. We're interested in his phone calls. We don't look for people, as they say, who've done anything wrong. We look for people who are interested in. This is a system ripe for abuse.
And this is just one case that we have here. I mean, it's open and shut, but this is just one case. Who knows how many other cases could be out there? Who knows how much fabricated, you know, evidence or dossiers or notes or this or that could have been used to get a FISA warrant on anyone? I mean, if Hillary Clinton can pay for a spy warrant on her political opponent, then who else knows what else was used to get FISA warrants? Who else could have bought a warrant to spy on somebody? I mean, it's a very dangerous precipice, a very dangerous precedent as well that was set here that needs to be looked at. And you know, maybe they passed it for another year. Maybe they'll revisit it and shut it down and reform it. But this is supposed to protect our liberties. This is supposed to protect our civil rights. And when you've got a quote unquote secret society above it all, thinking that they can just wield the levers of power to spy on whoever they want to get their influence across. No, that is treason. That is a violation of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Everyone in America, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, libertarian, should be fired up about this. More of your calls and Roger Stone on the other side.
The American way of life is under attack. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. We're going to go right back to your calls for Roger Stone here, but this story just came across my pipeline. I want to mention it and let you know I'm going to be covering it more later in the third hour. From CNS News, Melania Trump demanded spiritual cleansing of White House, removal of pagan demonic idols, and then it goes on to talk about how many times Trump has requested prayer in the White House, being anointed with oil, all the pastors coming in, 40 at once, and Melania's spiritual presence as well. So we're going to be talking about that later on in the show. But again, headline, Melania Trump demanded spiritual cleansing of White House, removal of pagan demonic idols, and not to mention just the demon spirits that probably lingered throughout from the Obama years. But let's go right back to the phone lines here and go to Michael calling in for Boston. From Boston, Michael, what are your questions for Roger Stone? Go ahead, Michael.
I understand you guys are talking about important topics like Melania and what's going on in Washington, and that's your job and your job's choose topics. But I think something that occurred on Alex Jones' show earlier today should give some credence, and that is what's going on in the crypto area right now and in the market. Now, you saw the market today have crashed 600 points, and it has a lot to do with what's going on in the bond market. But something that's happening is the new revelation over the past 10 years, which is online investing and online trading. And I know a lot of your viewers who buy your products like Caveman, like myself, care about where their money's going. And they need to know what are some traps that they can avoid. And one of these traps is crypto and bio and binary options. And these options are mainly sourced from companies who are not based in the United States because the FTC doesn't allow binary options to trade in the United States. But these options are available in Europe, and in the past 10 years, they were available in Canada and Australia and South Africa. And what happens is you have companies in Europe, and they base their banks in Bulgaria, and maybe Steve Pachenik might know a little bit more about that topic because he's familiar with the Eastern Ukrainian and financial trading crimes that are committed in those areas.
Let me just pause you right there, Michael. Let me just pause you right there and just bring Roger in on this because I'm no expert on cryptocurrencies. It's a shadowy thing for me. And just like Alex was saying earlier, I mean, we can't literally cover everything. So I'm not sure if Roger has any comments on this or knows much about crypto. Roger, just in general, do you follow the crypto much? Do you have much opinions on that?
Outside my area of expertise, I'm good at spending money, but I'm not good at
on all your legal defense.
Yeah, among other things. Look, I think it's a broader conversation for another time, but I thank the caller.
I'll tell you what, Michael. If you want to hold, I'll take your call in the third hour. When we're not taking calls for Roger Stone. So, Michael, just go ahead and hold that thought if you want to. We'll take your call later. Go ahead, Roger.
An extraordinary development yesterday, Owen. You know, I've been in American politics for almost 40 years. I've had the opportunity to work with many members of the House and Senate, many members of the state legislature, and obviously 10 Republican or Libertarian presidential campaigns. Rarely have I seen the kind of courage that I have seen in Florida Representative Matt Gaetz. Now, a full disclosure, Matt Gaetz is a friend of mine. He first came to my attention when he was in the Florida state legislature, and he became a champion for the legalization of medicinal marijuana. Although where we started was on the legalization of a specific strain of marijuana, cannabis, which was used very effectively to treat certain types of epilepsy in children. And I found out then that Matt Gaetz had an enormous set of stones, and he was not afraid to take on entrenched special interests. He wasn't afraid to take on the naysayers when he really believed in something. And he researched this subject, and he emerged as one of the most thoughtful and effective legislators in Tallahassee. Then he is now moved to the Congress, where he and Trey Gowdy and Jim Jordan and Ron DeSantis have emerged as the most courageous members of the House in terms of going where the evidence leads. And now Matt Gaetz has demanded that Adam Schiff, who got busted talking to people he thought were foreign agents seeking dirt on Donald Trump, stepped down from the House Intelligence Committee. In other words, Gaetz wants to flush Schiff. The best idea I've heard yet. So I want to commend Matt Gaetz, who is not only a courageous, but who is obviously not willing to, as a freshman, hang around and wait to climb the seniority ladder to get anything effective done. It takes an enormous amount of courage to take on a member of the House. But Adam Schiff has stepped in it, so to speak, and he has invited this kind of treatment. And frankly, the sooner he is removed from the committee, the better off the American people will be.
Yeah, what a total dupe. Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat in the House Intelligence Committee, gets duped by a phone prankster. Wow, that's the ranking member of a Democrat committee. I think that really shows you the brain power or lack thereof of the Democrat Party. And who would want to get behind a dummy like that? But here is that clip of Matt Gaetz requesting Adam Schiff step down.
So Matt Gaetz is a Republican representing the state of Florida, and he joins us tonight. Congressman, thanks for coming on.
Good to be on, Tucker.
So I want to ask you about a story that we had last night. The Daily Mail broke that Congressman Schiff, Adam Schiff of Burbank, California, basically the lead on the Russia probe in the House among Democrats, was suckered in a prank phone call into believing that this Ukrainian group had naked pictures of a Russian model Trump.
By the way, there's audio of that.
He then dispatched a researcher or an aide on the committee. to call.
There's audio of Adam Schiff falling for a prank call.
Document drop at the Ukrainian embassy. That seems like a significant story. It's not being covered today. Do you think that's a meaningful thing to know?
Absolutely, Tucker. And Adam Schiff should step aside as the lead Democrat on the Intelligence Committee as a consequence.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Is that Matt Gaetz echoing what Roger Stone thought of first? If it's Schiff, flush it.
Our FBI and Justice Department were suffering through an Obama nation, an Obama influence with
an
these
Obama nation.
To influence investigations.
It's called a play on words.
Adam Schiff off playing footsies with the Ukrainians, trying to get naked pictures of Donald Trump. Adam
All right,
Schiff
so pull it down. Let's get Roger Stone's response to that. So there it is. Matt Gaetz calling for him to be flushed from the House Intelligence Committee. Roger?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, of course, it was Adam Schiff, Owen, who raised all kinds of objections because Donald Trump Jr., in my opinion, a patriot, a good man, a solid supporter, an unafraid supporter of his father, met with a Russian lawyer who clearly had been sent in as part of a setup. A Russian lawyer that I told the Tiger Bay Club in Tallahassee yesterday was in the country illegally, who had no visa, whose photos we have found at a Hillary Clinton rally and coming out of Senator John McCain's office. But Adam Schiff said, oh, no, it's improper for Donald Trump Jr. to be meeting with foreign nationals seeking dirt. Well, that's what Adam Schiff just got caught doing, meeting with people he thought were associating, communicating with people he thought were Russian assets or, pardon me, Ukrainian assets, foreign assets, to try to get dirt on Donald Trump. No, Matt Gaetz is absolutely right. It is time for Adam Schiff to be flushed.
One time, Roger, let me hear it. If it's Schiff.
Flush it. No.
Exactly.
If we may, there it is. If we may, let's wrap in the other part of the dynamic duo of dumb. Don't swallow that. It's covered with Schiff.
There you go. Only the kind of creativity that you hear on The War Room with our own Roger Stone. We've got one more segment with Roger. We've got some of your calls lined up here. We'll combine the two in the next segment of The War Room. It cannot be said enough. If it smells like Schiff, flush it. If it looks like Schiff, flush it. If it's Schiff, flush it.
Welcome back. You're at the War Room with your hosts, Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. The War Room is part of the expanded coverage here at InfoWars, made possible only by your loyal support for the products, books, supplements, t-shirts, and other great products at the InfoWars store. Now, we don't have any big corporate pressure telling us what we can cover and not. We go where the evidence and the facts lead us. This has given us total and complete journalistic freedom. But it's only possible through the support of individual consumers like you. And we have some extraordinary products, and I myself have become an aficionado of many of them. The fact that I love Brain Force Plus, a supplement that I find gives me mental clarity and energy when you're putting in these 16 and 18 hour days, in some case, fighting on the ramparts in the fight for freedom and the First Amendment. This is a terrific product. It's got 5,837 satisfied reviews, 4.5 stars, almost 5 stars, actually. But I can tell you firsthand, this is an extraordinarily effective product. And now at 25% off is the time to order. And I like the auto ship function because that way you can be sure that you don't run out at the worst possible time. Alex Jones and the crew at the InfoWars store put a stock aside for those who are in the auto ship program, so you are never left without Brain Force Plus. Order it today. Owen, let's go back to the phones.
Let's do just that. We've got Josh calling in from Oregon. He's on the line. Josh wants to talk about the FISA warrant. Go ahead, Josh. What's on your mind?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So, we know that Obama said, to Chris Wallace on Fox in April, says that, I believe, that he doesn't get involved in FBI or DOJ.
I guarantee, period. There will be no involvement. There will be no politicization of any investigation. I guarantee, period. Folks, period. Folks, period. Folks.
Well, full stop, right? Full stop. But so the problem here is that, people are saying whether or not this is about the Russia investigation or whether it was about the Hillary Clinton investigation. I don't know that the two are all that different because I think because this was a month before, it was in September, it was about a month before the Clinton investigation was reopened by Comey. Now, they probably did that to try to save Hillary's ass because they knew that the FBI field agents were going to leak that to the media. And it was basically damage control and also an attempt to influence the election, in my view.
I think that I can kind of pose this in a question form to Roger, what you're saying. Roger, do you think if the Mueller investigation is legitimate, a Russian investigation, if he's going where the facts lead him, does that investigation eventually take him to Hillary Clinton, or is this truly just only going to look at Trump no matter what dirt or anything he finds on Hillary? It'll be ignored. It'll be passed up. Only stuff on Trump.
No, I think the caller is exactly right. It almost doesn't matter. This is the difference between being shot and being stabbed. Either way, Barack Obama was being briefed on what turned out to be a cover-up. In one case, the cover-up of the illegal email server by Hillary Clinton. In the other, the justification of surveillance of one of the two major party candidates by the state surveillance apparatus, the state intelligence apparatus, on the basis of knowingly fabricated evidence. They're both crimes. And I must tell you, Owen, that was the single worst Barack Obama impression I've ever heard.
Ouch. I don't know how I can go on from that one, folks.
No, you've got a great Bill Clinton, but you got to work on Obama.
I do. I can do some impressions. I have to be really into the spirit. But Josh, does that answer your question for Roger?
Yeah, for sure. One more question is, Roger, do you think that that McCabe ordered, we know that he possibly altered 302s. Do you think he altered 302s about the Flynn interview that was conducted by Stroke and others?
Look, there needs to be a full investigation of the rank corruption of Mr. Comey. I am so tired of his pontificating and his pious BS on his Twitter feed. This guy is a criminal. He is busted. No longer does he get this presumption as a great lawman who's universally respected by both parties. He's a perp in this whole caper, and he's going down one way or another. So we can't even begin, as Owen said earlier in the show, to know how many other acts of illegality there are, how many other cover-ups there may be. But one thing I did learn in the Watergate investigation is that ultimately it all comes out, every last bit of it. And the cover-up is indeed, in some cases, many cases, most cases, worse than the crime.
Thank you for the call, Josh. Let's now jet set to Missouri, where Jack is calling in from the Show Me State. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I want to agree with Mr. Stone on the face of his comments regarding Jeff Sessions. But I'd like to posit that perhaps while our President Trump is playing chess, Jeff Sessions is playing poker.
Or not playing at all.
Well, last night, I don't know if you guys follow QAnon, but he posted a series of photographs of the King Hotel in Shanghai, China, which purport to show the formation of a meeting and then the aftermath of a possible SWAT raid. on the 34th floor of the King Hotel. And what Q said, and Jerome Corsi agrees, is that you wanted to see arrests. Here's an arrest. Things are going on behind the scenes that you can't see, but things are going on. And so I just wanted to throw that out there for Mr. Stone to comment on. And then also, if I'm curious if after the next 7 years, how we preserve President Trump's legacy.
Roger?
Well, I'd like to believe that you're correct. And Dr. Jerome Corsi may be the single best investigative journalist working in the country today. And where does he work? But InfoWars. He is breaking news every single day with a background in intelligence and an ability to unencrypt a number of these messages. He has been way out ahead of the mainstream media and some of the other alternative media in trying to interpret exactly what QAnon is telling us. But I'm just not seeing the domestic prosecutions. The Clinton Foundation is not a charity. It's a slush fund for grifters. And it was the vehicle for the facilitation of multi-million-dollar bribes where people traded contributions in return for monumental million and billion-dollar business decisions or public policy decisions under the Obama administration. This is not a complicated prosecution. This is a prosecution that could be brought by a first a deputy assistant U.S. attorney. So what is Sessions waiting for? How would he show his hand? There is so much corruption here, particularly in the Uranium One matter, that it would help get the president's critics on defense and help fill out for the American people the entire narrative so they can see how these things all fit together. Is it coincidental that the main suspects in the Uranium One matter are Mr. Mueller, Mr. Comey, Mr. McCabe, and wait for it, Rod Rosenstein himself as the U.S. attorney in Baltimore? These gentlemen need to be brought to justice. This is not a complicated case. Jeff Sessions has nothing to wait for. The time is now.
Let's squeeze in another quick call. Danny, you've got 30 seconds. What's your question for Roger Stone?
Hello.
Go ahead. Now you got 20 seconds.
Okay. Hey, Owen, how you doing? Roger, how you doing?
Great. Now you've got 10 seconds.
Okay. Just wondering, how do you think, Obama, when Trump got elected, he's back in the whatever room, he rented the mansion, and he's going over everything that Trump's doing, right? Okay, so what do you think, like right now, like what's going on with him right now? Do you think he's going to be like
go ahead, Roger. Was Obama involved in everything, and what is he doing?
What is he doing right now, Owen? He's lawyering up. And tomorrow, I guarantee you, you'll have a much better impression of him for us.
Come on, folks. What's wrong with my impression here, folks?
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done?
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm going to go to your call, Michael, who called earlier about the Bitcoin Cash guy, Roger Ver, who was on the AJ show earlier. So, Michael, have your points ready. But real quick, Kit Daniels just published this story at Infowars.com. It is a good one to share. Where's Obama? Ex-president, silent amid scandal. And then it highlights how he's made very, very few public appearances in the year 2018. How he's basically put social media down. He never tweets anymore. Where is Obama? Of course, it's being reported now that he has lawyered up. Maybe his lawyers are telling him to get off the map and remain silent. But where is Obama? Once a man who was always quick to comment and open his big fat trap, now silent. I guarantee I will not be involved in any investigation. I promise you. No politicization of these investigations, folks. That's just what America does. All right, Michael, you wanted to talk about the guest on the AJ show earlier, and you had some comments on crypto. So I'm going to let you finish up those comments. Go ahead, Michael from Boston.
So it's kind of a complicated scenario, but I can unpack it for you. So this guy, Roger, he is part of an industry in online trading. And online trading has a number of different arms. One of them is cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Bitcash, BitDollar, whatever, these bit stocks, basically. It's almost like a mini stock market. And you also have binary options. The binary options, I think, has been around for as long, if not longer. And binary options was originally a game. And the idea is that you choose whether an asset, like, let's say, Apple, is going to increase in price or decrease in price over a period of time. And that period of time can range from as short as 60 seconds to as long as perhaps a month or longer. But typically, brokers they call themselves brokers, but they're really scammers. They sell themselves to be as brokers, and they try and infiltrate your wallet.
All right, I got to be honest with you, Michael. Look, I got to be perfectly honest with you. You're boring me, okay? I'm sorry. This is why I don't cover this stuff, and I'm not saying you're bad for knowing this stuff. It's just it's not intriguing me, so it's probably not intriguing the audience. So boil it down. What was the point? What's your beef with the guy that was on the AJ show?
The point is that I understand exactly what you mean because this is a boring topic, but this is not a topic that is something we should push to the side because it may seem boring. This is something you want to dig in because this guy who's purporting to, you know, sell Bitcash, it's just a pump and dump scam, to sum it up. It's a pump and dump.
Okay, so you're worried. So I think I'm understanding what you're saying. So you're worried about people who want to invest in crypto falling for scams, essentially.
That they're naive because they haven't been in this industry and are not familiar with the sharks, and they also are easily susceptible to target marketing. That's why you were talking about Google, and Google has been supporting advertisements by these companies who are advertising quick, fast cash online trading, when in fact it's really just a net, and you fall into it, and you can end up like one of these guys, a Canadian who has been fleeced for $134,000 for life savings, and from a binary options company that's based in Israel, purporting to have a license in the UK, and they fleeced him because they were able to say, "Listen, you invest $250, we'll bring your earnings up, and you just invest more," and they fall for it. And that's
it's definitely volatile. It's definitely a lot of questions. And again, this is why, just to echo what Alex was saying earlier. Thank you for the call, Michael. Just to echo what Alex was saying earlier, this is why I don't really get involved with it. I'm nowhere near expert. I don't know. I think there's still a lot of mystery to it. And it just becomes this infighting thing where my cryptocurrency's better, your cryptocurrency's this or that. So I just tend to stay away from it. But I'll just say this. I mean, honestly, for me personally, if I was going to think about investing, it just seems to me the best bet is property, land, getting a house, and gold. And that's what it seems like to me. So we'll see where cryptocurrency goes. But right now, it's just, it's like Alex said, it's like the wild, wild west, man. Well, no one said it was going to be easy, but it will be worth it. What is it? It's the second American Revolution. It is the true third Great Awakening, and we are smack dab in the middle of it right now. And Infowars.com has been telling you that we are about to hit this precipice, and now here we are. And we had a great victory when we elected President Trump, because it's not that Trump is perfect, but Trump is one of us. Trump is we the people. Trump is not the secret society. Trump is not the deep state. He is we the people, and he wants to give the government back to we the people. And that's why the government and the deep state and the Obamas and the Clintons and the Schiffs are all freaking out right now. Welcome back to the War Room, final hour here with you. And you've got this story that just came down the pipeline today on CNS News. Pastor Begley, Melania Trump demanded spiritual cleansing of White House, removal of pagan demonic idols. So you've seen, obviously, the footage, the videos, the pictures of everything. Trump getting anointed, Trump having the prayer in the White House. But this gets into a little more detail. Let's go to a quote here. Pastor Begley says Melania Trump said, I'm not going to go into that White House unless it has been completely exorcised. They cleansed the White House. They had people in there anointing it with oil and praying everywhere. That was after the request was made by Melania Trump. Begley goes on, I have to say, when the president allowed 40 pastors to come into the White House and anoint him with oil and lay their hands and pray on him, 7 times he's done this. That is unheard of. We haven't ever. That guy's got flaws. We all do. But at least he is humble enough and recognizing that he needs God enough that he keeps bringing them in there for prayer. I've got to say this. It may have started with the First Lady. The First Lady, in that 5 hours when the Obamas and the Trumps went down to the Capitol and Trump was being sworn in as the 45th president of the United States, Melania Trump said to her husband, I'm not going to go into that White House unless it has been completely exorcised. And then Begley goes on, apparently during the 8 years when Obama was there, and maybe even some of the presidents before him, there were all kinds of idol gods and images and all kinds of artifacts in there that were demonic, even some stuff from the Clinton era because they were really tied in with the Haitians. And the story goes on, the full story is at CNSnews.com. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting if this story would make the mainstream media, it would really hurt the narrative that Trump wanted to go and have a bed urinated on. Obviously, this is a made-up story. We shouldn't even talk about it. It gives it too much credence just to talk about it. But if they hated if they despised the Obamas so much, if they thought the Obamas were demonic and they had to rid their spirit and exorcise their demons from the White House, do I really need to go any further with this? I think you see where I'm going here. Hey, if I had to live in the same house that the Obamas just lived in for 8 years, I think I'd want it fumigated too. Fumigated, exorcised, maybe even burnt to the ground and build a new one. But here's what it symbolizes. That Donald Trump and Melania Trump understand that this is more than a political battle, more than an earthly battle, but a spiritual battle. And I'm not going to lie to you. Melania Trump, I'd like to hear her make a public statement on this. I doubt she will, but wouldn't it be nice to hear Melania Trump come out and say in her accent that she believes the Obamas were demons and they left demons in the White House? And maybe there's some sort of aroma of sulfur that was in the White House when they first moved in. They smelled like sulfur. It kind of smelled like Schiff, but it smelled more like sulfur. And so they had to do something about it. They had to fumigate it and exorcise it. But again, whether you believe that or not, it is fact. Trump has had dozens of pastors in there of all races. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. And he does all these prayers, all these anointments. He goes to these churches. It's powerful stuff. And it's sad. I understand if people aren't religious. I'm not here to preach to you or tell you to be religious or faithful or anything. I just think it's sad when an individual can't recognize or feel the spiritual power that humans can manifest. I just think it's sad that people can't feel the spiritual connection that humans have to our Creator, to the greater power, or even to each other. Trump gets it, and I do believe it empowers him. And I think it's only going to empower him more as time goes on. Let's take a couple calls here before we sign off for this segment and go forward with some more news. Let's go to Tom. Tom's been holding in from Florida. Tom wants to talk about the dossier. Go ahead, Tom.
I'm going to go ahead. I want to know about the FISA warrant as well as the memo. I think we needed to investigate this a lot further and get the right ones jailed.
Okay, I'm having some trouble understanding you, Tom. It sounds like you have a bad connection, but it sounds like you're talking about the FISA warrant. Well, the big question that needs to be asked, and Roger Stone brought it up earlier, thanks for the call, Tom, is who is the FISA judge? Or if you want to protect him, I guess that's okay. It depends, though. Was he privy to the fact that it was a Clinton paid for document and opposition research and made up and fake news? Was he aware that the Yahoo News story that they cited was essentially the same thing as the document, the dossier, made up, fake news? So was the FISA judge in on it, or was he really honestly duped knowingly by James Comey and by the others that submitted it? I can't remember if it was McCabe or Stroke at this point. I think it was McCabe. Oh, but Steele too. Yeah, there it is. Thank you for pointing that up. Steele and Comey, that's who it is. Steele and Comey both have their hands red right now. They're caught. They lied to the FISA judge. They lied to the FISA court. They signed off on this, and it was Comey and Rosenstein, I believe, that signed off on it. So, yes, will there be an investigation into that? And where does that begin? Does it begin with the FISA judge? Does it begin with Comey? Does it begin with Steele? Right now, it looks like it begins with Steele because that's where the criminal investigation request is coming from the Senate. Let's take another call here. Let's go to Steve calling in from Virginia. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Owen.
Hey.
Hey, can I change what I called in for? You was just talking about Melania, the first lady.
Well, you're on the air right now, brother, so go ahead. Fire away.
A few weeks ago, I was out in public, and I had on my dark blue with a big red letter InfoWars shirt, and I was approached by a couple people wanting to know why I listened to InfoWars. And I told them that my dad was a coal miner his whole life. And instead of focusing on the light right in front of him, he paid attention to where the light hit the darkness, because it gave him more time to react to a roof fall in or something like that. And I told him that's what InfoWars does. And one of them said, well, that don't make no sense. And I told him, because you're standing in the dark being told what to see. So he walked off. And the other two was interested, and I was telling them about how you all was more spiritual and told them about your store and everything. They asked a bunch of questions. I told them about, you know, you can call in, voice your opinion, whether you agree or disagree. And it just reminded me that people need to know that it's a spiritual fight more than anything else.
No, it truly is. Go ahead and, you know what, go ahead and hold, Steve, in case you got something else to say. I got to go to break here. If you got something else to say, we'll take it on the other side. But that's why we have the InfoWars shirt, so you can spark up a conversation. That's the point. But it is sad. It's like, oh, why do you listen to InfoWars? It's like, why wouldn't I listen to InfoWars? They keep me informed. They're tomorrow's news today. I want to let Steve finish off his point here, so let's go right back out to the phone lines, including a couple other callers. Steve, go ahead and finish your point.
You remember back when they had the fire at the Clinton's place? I was wanting to ask you a question about that. Do you think instead of worrying about her getting convicted for the Uranium One or the dossier or anything like that, do you think they might have made one too many shady deals and too many promises to be in the White House? And
well, I'll just put it to you this way, because that's a very loaded question to try to answer when you talk about all the Clinton crimes. I would just respond to you with the response Trey Gowdy gave Martha McCollum of Fox News two nights ago. The crimes committed by Clinton are still crimes. And if somebody wants to prosecute, somebody wants to go down that road, the road is still there. It's not going anywhere. And so I would just leave it like that. Thank you so much for the call, Steve. All right, let's go to Matt calling in from Sacramento. Go ahead, Matt.
Hi, Owen. First of all, what I want to get touch on is, of course, the trend towards the military theocracy that Trump is driving our country towards. But what I want
the what
to
say, the what
military theocracy is obviously on his agenda.
Military theocracy?
Oh yes, with all his talk about God and then going to be parading around the troops to put it in all of our faces that he intends to continue occupying illegally the office of presidency in this country. But you know what I think is sad, Owen?
Assume my gender.
Well, excuse me, I thought that you were obviously trying to identify as male. You're obviously a man, a young man who has a whole future ahead of him, who is somewhat into idol worship and starstruck by the great Alex Jones, his hero, who is dragging him along. See, once the collusion is exposed and they arrest the traitors, and including the traitor journalists.
So hold on, you're talking about collusion being exposed. So you're obviously talking about the Obama Department of Justice and Hillary Clinton and Christopher Steele. I mean, that's what you're talking about, right?
No. You try to change the subject and project your...
No. You said... Hold on, sir, or ma'am, or Matt. You are the one that said whoever was guilty of collusion will be arrested. That's who's guilty. That's where the evidence and the facts lead. What are you talking about?
Hillary has never been charged with anything, young man. Now, listen.
Neither has Trump.
But he will be soon.
Yeah, okay. Good luck with that.
Listen, they can't intimidate us with military parades intended to try to silence...
Oh, my God, dude! Dude, Matt. Oh, my God, man. See, this is sad. Look, you know what? I'm glad Matt called. I wish more people like Matt would call because he's actually willing to have a conversation with me. How is the American military on the streets of New York in a parade meant to be intimidating to American people? Explain that logic to me.
I'll tell you exactly why, because that is the state where... the truly elected Hillary Clinton came from, and you're trying to project...
No. Please answer my question without going off onto some road that doesn't exist. Hillary Clinton was not elected president. Answer the question. How does an American military parade oppress American people?
Because it's a portent of things to come. It's saying to predominantly liberal New York, we intend to occupy not just the offices illegally, but we're going to begin occupying your streets. And this is the might, and this is the force and the loyalist forces that we're going to bring to bear against the resistance. It is clearly a message that is trying to be sent.
But all of the executive orders and all of the stuff that got signed during the Obama years, where they can call for you know, a military takeover and call for military on the streets and call for martial law, was it a problem then?
That was in order to protect from right-wing radical racists who want to...
Oh, my gosh. Matt, you're doing me a favor here. Do you realize that you are exemplifying the exact type of brainwash I try to break every day?
I'm just trying to tell you earlier, you're the one who's been brainwashed by Alex Jones.
Sir, you are yet to provide a fact. Do you know that?
I have provided the fact that Hillary won the popular vote and is the duly elected true leader of this country.
No, so there you go. So you still can't even provide a fact. I'll even give up the popular vote, even though I think she won it with illegal votes. Whatever. Even if she did win the popular vote, that's not being duly elected. That's not how you win the office of United States president. You understand that, right?
Only because of the Russian cheating and collusion that was able to steal the Electoral College.
Where was the collusion? Where was it?
The influencing by the Russian robots and the bots on the internet to change people's minds, the propaganda.
Who? What bots? What bots? Where?
I'm not a computer programmer. I'm not trying to talk about that. What I'm trying to do is...
You just brought it up. What do you mean you're not trying to talk about it? You literally just brought it up. But I understand how you don't want to talk about it now because I'm asking questions about it and you don't have the answer.
Because the election was stolen.
How? How?
By Russian collusion, by trying to influence and change people's minds through fake news.
Who colluded with Russia?
Alex Jones, for one. Your boss.
Alex Jones colluded? Yes. Wow. What did Alex Jones do to collude with Russia?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I work with Alex Jones. I see him every day. I know his family. We go to dinner. I just had a meeting with his dad. He is not Russian. You are crazy. I am not Russian. Look, when they try to tell you we're Russian, that's to dehumanize us, and that's to feed your brainwashed cult that thinks there was Russian collusion that doesn't exist, Matt.
It's not. It's you, because you probably have information that you could turn over to the investigators to help prove the guilt of Alex Jones and David Knight and Paul Joseph Watson.
David Knight and Paul Joseph Watson. Matt, I hope you're joking right now.
This is not a joke. This is serious.
What do you think? What do you? Hold on. Let me ask you this, Matt. Matt, let me ask you this. What do you think we do here?
Collude with Russians and concoct fake news stories in order to turn the American public against the truth.
Guys, give me the doc cam. Do a doc cam of my desk right now. Can you just give me a doc cam of my desk right now? Just go ahead. Matt, I literally, all I do for 7 hours a day is aggregate news. That's all I do. I read everything. I watch everything. I listen to everything. There is no collusion. That's me. What do you think Alex Jones does? How do you think this company operates? Who do you think comes up with the marketing campaigns? Who do you think is hiring people? I mean, dude, do you really think we have time to collude with Russia?
Yes, you have secret funding from the Russians because selling vitamin water and fake vitamins and snake oil is not enough to support.
Wow, so what about all the reviews on the website? You know what? Here's what we're going to do. You've been a great caller, Matt. I want you to hold, and we're going to send you some supplements. That's what we're going to do. Uh-oh, hold on a second. Uh-oh, guys, are the cameras running? Are we still live on air? Don't show the doc cam right now. No, nobody can see the doc cam. Do not show the doc cam. I just got my orders from Russia. I just got my orders from Putin. Oh. All right, Matt. Hey, Matt, let me just ask you one more question. How old are you?
I don't think ageism has anything to play about this.
Can you just answer a question? Or are you so, you can't even give me one fact?
Why would you, you're trying to change the subject. You know something.
Ofer. You go Ofer. You called into the show, you go Ofer. I just wanted to know how old you are because I thought maybe there was hope for you if you're a young guy. Hold Matt over. Let's send him some products. He doesn't believe in our products, so let's send him some products. You can see that they're the real deal. I wish more people like Matt would call. I bet I can change Matt's mind. Dude, I'm not a Russian. I'm an American through and through.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Donald Trump said on this video that...
Boy, that was quite a caller that last segment, huh? I enjoyed it. I take calls like that all day, honestly. It doesn't bother me one bit. I mean, it's almost impossible to believe someone actually believes what that last caller said. But I'm predicting. Now, Matt hung up. He didn't accept our offer of free products to try our products because he called in here and dissed our products. So I said, we'll hold over and we'll send you some and you can try them for yourself. He had no interest in that, probably because, again, he would be proven wrong. But I could hear it in Matt's voice, and he didn't want to answer how old he was because I bet he's a younger guy, maybe my age, maybe younger, and I bet there's hope for him. And Matt, I know you're still listening because you're obsessed with me. You're going to find out it's Clinton and Obama that are guilty of collusion, bro. Who do you think Christopher Steele got the information from for the Clinton paid for dossier? Russians. Now, why couldn't you answer a question about where the Russian Trump collusion is or where the InfoWars Russian collusion is? Because there is none and you have no facts. So just think about it and join the winning team. The winning team is open for everyone. It just takes a little bit of logic and a little bit of acceptance that you may have been wrong and you've been duped. We all have to go there. It's a good thing, actually. So here's what I will say. As far as the products are concerned, I am a frequent user of the products. So I'm not just up here selling products and just reading off a sheet. Look at this. I don't even have a sheet. I won't even bring up my plug sheet. And I can already tell you all the products. I can already tell you all the effects on everything because I use them. Like the new turmeric supplement, Bod Ease. In fact, again, it's like, see, people don't understand. We don't just say things. Like when I say I play basketball, I have met I have all these friends at the gym where I play basketball now that happen to be fans of InfoWars, that happen to be fans of our products, fans of Alex Jones, and they tell me that they use the products. They know I'm real. I don't just come up here and say, yeah, I like to play basketball and just so I can sell a product. No, I like to play basketball. My knees get sore, and so I find a supplement that eases the soreness, and it's Bodies, and it works, and it's amazing. I remember I had a similar situation where I was starting to develop more soreness when I was lifting heavier weights, and so I started taking Caveman, and then that eased that soreness. So again, I just it's just amazing. I put my money where my mouth is. That's what we do at InfoWarsStore.com. Why do you think Alex Jones puts his name on every product we sell? Because he stands by it. Because he knows it's real. And he knows the scrutiny that comes with it. So, folks, look, if you doubt our products, try them. It's simple as that. And if you think it's bad, then give it a review. But you notice we don't get the bad reviews. All we get is good reviews. Because even people that don't want our products to succeed, that don't want InfoWars to succeed, try the products and they realize, wow, this is the real deal, and give it a good review. Look at this. Brand new product, Bodies. It's got 9 reviews. It just came out. 4.9 star rating. But go to BrainForce Plus. BrainForce Plus has like 9,000 reviews and is like a 4.8 star rating. What are the official numbers here? 6,000 reviews, 4.6 rating for BrainForce Plus. And it's just sad. I use BrainForce. I use Vitamin B12 Secret 12. The Survival Shield X2 is a game-changing, life-changing product. I take the Vitamin Mineral Fusion every day. It's loaded with all sorts of vitamins in there, including vitamin C to build up your immune system. I take it every morning. So I'm not just selling you a product. I'm telling you that the product works because I use it. And it's a 360 win because you expand InfoWars. You let InfoWars hire new reporters. You let InfoWars expand their live broadcasting. If you want Alex Jones to expand InfoWars to 20 hours of live broadcasting every weekday from the 10 we're at now, that's Alex's project for this year, to be 20 hours live a day by 2019. And he's committed, but it's only possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. It appears, let's go to David. David is calling in from Houston. Go ahead, David.
Hey, brother, can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Hey, I'm going to recommend Caveman and Super Male first to Matt before we get started.
Yeah, he might need to double up on the Super Male.
For sure. All right, I only have one question. I want to know what happened to the Austin face of Antifa, the Chicken Man. Did you go to Mexico with him?
David, I have to be honest with you. When I saw that you were calling in about the Chicken Man, I actually got a little fired up because it reminded me of something that just ticks me off. We can have a Chicken Man smash our equipment, hundreds of dollars of damage. We can be spat on multiple times in New York City. We can be thrown on. I can have guns pointed at me. You know how many times I get justice, David? You know how many times I get justice, David?
How much?
Zero times. Zero times, David. And you calling in, bringing up the Chicken Man reminded me of that. We never got reimbursed for the microphone and all the equipment he smashed. The police never followed up with me on the complaints and the charges that I filed against that individual. I get nothing. I get nothing when Antifa points rifles at me. I get nothing. We get nothing. Our crew gets nothing when we get spat on multiple times in New York City and swung at. I get no justice from the police. Absolutely none. And I still come on air and stand up for police when they're in the right. And it just really ticked me off because I know and you know and everybody out there knows, if I would have taken the law and justice into my own hands and pounded that chicken right there into the pavement, I would have been arrested.
Do you think there, just switching topics real quick, do you think there's any correlation between us outing Ken Delanian and the Millie Weaver threat? And I'm going to hang up, brother. Good one.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what he was talking about. Is he talking about the Law and Order show? Was that what that was? Is that what that was? I really don't know. Well, they. I mean, look, they titled it InfoWars. So, I mean, does that not tell you everything? And then they have a blonde reporter go out in the streets to face what appears to be Antifa. Well, what does Millie Weaver do? Exactly that. I mean, you know, so I don't know how much more obvious it can get. But they're not going to intimidate us. You know,
I just got to interject for a second.
Go ahead.
By the way, that story that when we ran it on our YouTube page, they copyright claimed us. NBC Universal did. And we had to fight it and tell them, hey, no, it doesn't matter that this is your copyrighted material. We're analyzing what you guys are saying about us. This is obviously us. The episode's titled InfoWars, and this is all in my rebuttal to them. This is obviously a portrayal of our reporter, and we have more than enough right to analyze it and tell people what you're doing. And they tried to shut us down. They tried to get it pulled off, and we just won those copyright claims on two of those videos.
So there's just another example, again, how they try to stymie us and shut us down. I still don't, we're still not allowed to live broadcast on our channel, are we guys? No. Yeah, I don't like to talk about it because it really just infuriates me. But whenever we get this ban on YouTube and we can't broadcast live, it just kills our subscriber numbers. It just kills our viewer numbers because it kills our traffic. So you know what? When I get back, I'm going to take more of your calls. Please, if everybody listening right now would go to the War Room Show on YouTube, just type in warroom.show into your internet browser, warroom.show into your internet browser, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Pull up our YouTube channel, guys. There's our YouTube channel. We're not allowed to broadcast live from this channel right now because we're being censored and we got shut down by YouTube. I'm not sure when that ban is going to be lifted, but please, if everyone right now would go subscribe to our YouTube channel, it would be huge for us. We're banned from streaming live there right now because they're trying to censor us. That's why we need your support at InfoWarsStore.com. But go to the War Room Show on YouTube and subscribe to our channel. And hopefully we'll be back up live next week. I mean, I don't even know. They want to shut us down. They want us censored. They can't handle real news. They can't handle the War Room. They can't handle Alex Jones. So they just censor us. All right, final segment of the War Room here today, and I've got to just plow through everything here in the last 10 minutes. Let's get into this. From Pamela Geller, GellerReport.com, newly released FBI text stroke page used untraceable phones when talking about Hillary, and they say in the text messages, whenever we talk about Hillary, we have to use burner phone. Oh, that's just like Nellie Orr, who was communicating with who knows who via ham radio. So they're using burner phones to communicate. They're using the ham radio to communicate. What are they trying to hide? Black Caucus members refuse to denounce hate group leader Louis Farrakhan. Now, this is an interesting story because this is not an issue that conservatives really take up. And I really don't even care if they want to meet with Louis Farrakhan, if Obama wants to meet with Farrakhan, I mean, whatever. However, you have to call out the double standards from the Democrats, as you always do. If they're going to make Donald Trump denounce and disavow every person that supports him, if they're going to make everybody on the conservative side denounce anyone and everyone that's ever made a statement that they view as politically incorrect, well, how about you all denounce people that make statements that are politically incorrect, like Farrakhan, who says he believes in black superiority, who believes the Jews did 9/11, and et cetera, et cetera. So they're not going to do that, though. So it's just calling them out for the frauds they are. The list is here. You know, you get your typical John Lewis, Maxine Waters, Elijah Cummings, Lacey Clay from Missouri. That guy sucks. Sheila Jackson Lee, Al Green. So, you know, it's the normal double standard Democrats. Pelosi Buster, House Democrat leader speaks for record 8 straight hours demanding immigration vote. So they won't stand for the American economy. They won't stand for Americans who have been victimized by gangs. They won't stand for black unemployment being at record lows. They won't stand for Hispanic unemployment hitting record lows. They won't stand for stock market records. They won't stand for anything except non-citizens. Sharia has come to Texas. Now, remember, we had Sybil Edmonds breaking this down in studio with Alex Jones about a month ago talking about Gulen and his network of schools. Then this person goes out and is in disbelief of the story, saying Fox News and Breitbart claiming rogue court enforcing Islamic law in America, and then goes out to find out it's true. So Tommy Robinson was covering that yesterday on the Alex Jones show as well. This story is insane. I believe this is out of Australia, but I guess it's a traveling circus. Disturbing backgrounds of brother and sister accused of sadistic abuse of boys, sex-ring matriarch, 58, fell off the back of a circus truck as a baby, and her sibling was a nurse at Children's Hospital, and then her and her family have been accused of sexually assaulting and raping teenage boys and underage minors and individuals, as well as recording them. Another arrest in Pedogate. Remember, recording them. That means they were probably distributing that video. Perhaps they're going to blow the whistle on who they were distributing it to. Let's go out to the phone lines. If we're going to take your call, make it quick. I got to get through all of you. Ken in Indiana, fire away.
Hi, this is Matt. I need your help. I need more products. Actually, it's Ken in Indiana. I wanted to confirm that if you look at the what you're looking at, the spiritual warfare to the political arena, it's an interesting question. Just consider that question as I do the setup. So what we have is a Illuminati agenda, deep state, secret state, and we all know that, and it doesn't stop there. When you pull the plug on this, you're going to get a clusters of mockingbirds that's going to go into a memo that's going to lead right down to the straight gates of hell. I mean, you know that's what's going on, and I do too. So your products, your health, you know, you resonate with the idea that you want the truth, then I can handle the truth. And you can handle the truth that there's something that connects the spiritual warfare to the political arena. And that's us. And we got to get in here. We got to take that.
Yeah. You can't fight the spiritual battle unless you yourself are cleansed, unless you yourself have the power. That's so true. That's why they try to brainwash you with the dumbed down higher education system and put you into classes and race bait and everything. That's why they poison you with all the foods and in the water and all the chemical runoff. Exactly. That's why we want people to be healthy so that they can handle the spiritual battle. That's everything right there. And I think Survival Shield X2 at InfoWarsStore.com is one of the biggest products as far as launching yourself into being spiritually aware and spiritually ready to fight that battle. Thank you so much, Ken in Indiana. Sorry, but I got to jump. Let's go to John in Houston. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how's it going?
What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I knew about the Peace Accord and that stuff since before this stuff got popular, as I'm sure you guys did too. But the thing is that we never had any hope of that stuff being democratic, and then they kind of reaffirmed the power of this secret stuff a couple days ago in Congress. So what I'm trying to say is if you really look at it with a realistic sense and forget about idealistic law, but let's just base our expectations on reality. You know, this is a completely hidden institution. There's no chance of us holding them accountable because there is no law in place for them getting reprimanded for fraudulent warrants.
No, exactly. And the only way we have is these oversight committees in Congress that are actually doing their job now.
I see. So that's literally the only oversight. This is our last chance. So that brings me to my point. So if people really understand what's happening, Trump is trying his hardest. Mr. Jones is trying his hardest. We're all trying our hardest to make this place a better place. But they're only one guy. They can only do so much. It's really up to us, the people, to elect real representatives. Then that's where it all comes down to. If we don't step up and start getting rid of the representatives who are clearly deep state agents, we have to do that or we're screwed. Like, I don't know why people don't realize that, but every single Republican who's fake, who's not with Trump, has got to go. Not with Trump fanatically. Like, I really like Rand Paul. I don't know if he's perfect, but, you know, he's not.
No. I get what you're saying. No. Yeah. I totally hear you. It's not about, going along with everything Trump does. You know, you can disagree with him. It's about understanding the bigger agenda. Drain the swamp, make America great again, have a border, have language, have culture. Exactly. And yeah, and earlier to John's point about the FISA court, yeah, InfoWars was talking about this, Alex Jones was talking about this, how unconstitutional it is, and then it turns out that they were abusing it just as we suspected. Thank you for the call, John. Let's now jump to Adam in New Jersey. Go ahead, Adam. Adam?
Hello.
Okay. Let's go to the final caller of the day, Garrett in North Carolina. Go ahead.
Oh, Owen. I would say, how are you doing today? But I know you've got to be doing absolutely fantastic after a call from fellow/lady? Not really sure what you would call that, but yeah, you got to be doing good, right?
Well, you ought to know, if you listen to the show, I don't like people asking me how I'm doing when I'm on air, because people don't care about how I'm doing. The show isn't about my life. It's about news and everything. So I just like it when people come right in and fire away. But I am doing great. I'm doing great, Garrett.
Yeah, absolutely. You must be feeling legendary, because he's going to become the next oh-so-wonderful meme in the chat room. It's going to happen.
Don't you wish more people like that called?
Yes, absolutely. I really, really do. Because that was like, if that was not a troll, that is probably the best troll I've ever heard. But what's sad is that's probably real.
No, it's incredible. Look, this is what they don't understand. I want them to call. I want to have a conversation with them. I really believe that, I mean, maybe it's impossible, but I think I can crack their fluoride shell. I think I can open their mind. I really believe so, because I used to be them. I used to be there. I was indoctrinated by the universities. I used to be anti-gun because I thought, oh, guns are the problem. I was there. I admit I was duped. I admit I was wrong. I found the truth. I found the light, and here I am. I'm just trying to share it with other people.
I feel the exact same way. I felt the exact same way.
Oh, but oh yeah, I'm a Russian agent. See, people don't understand how dumb it sounds. It's like, did I just like pop up out of nowhere? Like, did I just teleport here? Just like beaming down from Russia? Like, I have a family. I have friends. I've got yearbooks from when I had bleach blonde hair and I was, you know, yay tall. I wasn't at school in Russia. It's ridiculous. I've got 9 yearbooks from St. Genevieve Dubois in St. Louis, Missouri, dude. Like, how, I mean, it's just crazy.
It's absolutely astonishing. Just like, it was really weird to listen to it. There's every single talking point that you're used to hearing is coming out of his mouth. Whatever it is. I'm assuming.
Gender. Hey, I didn't, I told him not to judge my gender. So I'm not going to judge his or hers or whatever.
You should always just say yes.
All right, Garrett, thank you so much for the call. Hey, you know what? Since we're talking about cross-gender or whatever, we've got a Valentine's Day special. I even did the copy myself. His and her super female and super male vitality. This takes care of all the different genders out there. Just get the pack, combine it into one secret formula, and it can be the trans man woman vitality, trans vitality, whatever you want. Infowarsstore.com. Support us. And please, liberals, call more into the show if you disagree with me. You stay classy, Info Warriors.